got next? This is Free Association with Dave Zarum and J.D. Bunkus.
All right, welcome to Free Association. I'm Dave Zarum, Sportsnet's NBA editor. Alongside me, as always, J.D. Bunkus, Sportsnet 590 The Fan producer. How you doing, J.D.?
I'm tired. It's early. I'm muscling through it, but it's just... It's a grind. It's a grind sometimes. Today's a grind day.
It is a grind, but it's also a big day because not only is today the first annual Free Association Freebie Awards, but it's also Game 6 of the NBA Finals.
Oh.
Someone could win the title tonight.
I think somebody will win the title tonight.
I got a bad feeling that that's going to be exactly the case, but all I wanted out of this series was a Game 7.
Oh, anytime you can get a Game 7 in any sport, it's great. I mean, there's nothing that beats that. And as much as I want the Game 7, I like being right even more. And I said before, and I'm on record, Warriors in 6, baby, and let's get it done. Come on, Warriors. Give me that. Let me be right, as always.
All right, you're about to look like a very smart dude, except...
For the first time ever, maybe.
Except I still am not ready to count the Cavs out. Anyways, we're going to talk NBA Finals, obviously, as well as the Freebie Awards. Also, some big trades going down last night on Monday night. We'll get to that as well. Remember, you can subscribe on iTunes, Free Association. You can hit us up on sportsnet.ca. I'm at Dave Zarum. He's at JD Bunkus. Anything I left out there?
No. If you want to follow my Twitter feed, like I've always said, you're probably going to get a lot of retweets of animal pictures, animals in funny places. Do you see that raccoon riding that crocodile? See, that's good stuff. That's the type of stuff that you're going to get on my Twitter feed.
Okay, so fair warning, people. Prepare to be disappointed. but you know, this NBA Finals has been anything but a disappointment. I mean, I'm still blown away. Even if it does look like the Warriors have kind of taken control of the series, I still find myself just like riveted by all these games.
Oh, of course.
Even the Golden State blowout win, I was all in for that too. I mean,
but
it wasn't a blowout
until the fourth quarter.
It was
still tight the entire game, and then all of a sudden it was like a couple of Steph Curry threes, and it's just like, oh, okay, that's we're getting away from things here.
It's interesting, though. I mean, we sat here a week ago, and the Cavs at that point seemed like they were completely in the driver's seat themselves. It seemed they had kind of figured out how to play against the Warriors. Golden State had no way to stop LeBron. They still don't, but that's kind of it's worked in their favor regardless. But it's funny because now a week later, it seems like everything's completely turned around. You know, the hourglass has been flipped over. I don't know what it's going to take for Cleveland to pull this off tonight. I think that's an obvious statement, but those guys seem dead tired. You look at Sunday's game 5. I think that's what happened there. Yeah, Steph Curry had a great game. He had his breakout performance of the finals, but really, I mean, you look at the last 5 minutes there. I just think Cleveland ran out of gas.
I mean, I said it last week. That was my one concern. As great as the Cavs had looked, I was dubious as to whether LeBron James could maintain this workload. It was absolutely insane the amount of shots he was taking, the fact that he's defending so hard on the other end, running the floor.
Okay, I want to toss out some crazy LeBron numbers.
Yeah, do it.
As pertaining to his workload. First of all, Sunday's Game 5, LeBron scored or assisted on 81.3%. of Cleveland's field goals.
Yeah, I saw one stretch where I think it was 16 straight possessions he either had an assist or a bucket.
I mean, his previous finals, or his previous record, rather, yep, was 76%.
Yeah.
And that was in this finals as well.
That's what I mean, though. It's still ridiculous. Like, 76%. Unbelievable.
I got another one for you.
Hit me.
Since 2000, this is from...
Is it sad that I'm not surprised by this, though, really, at all? Like, well, it's jarring, but it's not shock. Like,
I got a couple more, and that's the thing, is, like, they all, like, you don't shrug, but it's yeah, I mean, that's what we're seeing. We're seeing a guy do something we've never seen before. Since 2000, this is from Ben Gulliver. Since 2000, the only players with 20 points, 8 rebounds, 8 assists in the finals, in a single finals game, are Kobe, Duncan, LeBron, Kidd, Shaq, and Russ Westbrook. On Sunday's Game 5, LeBron had that at halftime.
Yeah. I love it.
It's insane. Okay, here's one more. Since 1985, only 5 times have we seen someone in the playoffs post 35 points, 11 rebounds, 11 assists. I'm going to list those the players in the year. LeBron James, 2009. LeBron James 2010, LeBron James 2015, LeBron James 2015, and LeBron James 2015.
So what you're telling me
ever
is that LeBron James is a physical freak?
Yeah, he's pretty good at basketball, is what I'm getting at.
Another a lot of people doing great stuff on LeBron's work rate and what he's taking in. Tom Haberstroh had a great one. Did you catch that?
No.
He wrote about last week, there were a bunch of top trainers and scientists from the Premier League in soccer. They gathered in England, and they wanted to learn the latest about keeping athletes healthy. And they're looking at stress levels, and they're saying that basically the gist of the article was that nobody in professional sports even comes close to LeBron James. With the fact that they're traveling in between these games as well, putting in like 5-6 hour flights between Oakland and Cleveland, and then playing the next day, is basically was dubbed by this head trainer that ran this thing unfathomable. And my favorite part of the entire article is that this guy, this trainer in, I want to say it's Manchester City, in their clubhouse, they've got just a picture of LeBron James because he just is marveled by the workload that this guy can take on. It's been truly special. We've been blessed to watch it. But like I said, I always knew that this was just it's not humanly possible, as freakish as LeBron James is, for someone to take on this type of responsibility physically and have to take the brunt of the scoring like this. Like you mentioned before, like you can't really look at his efficiency numbers and criticize him for them when it comes to shooting, because it's just like he has to take those shots. Like he has to.
No, and some people are taking the contrarian view that, you know, Michael Grange on our website. Grange on our website had a piece. It was an interesting piece, but I couldn't disagree with the premise anymore, which is that this, we're not seeing LeBron James playing great basketball right now. This isn't his best finals performance. I just see a guy who's just doing things we've never seen before. And, you know,
well, at this point, though, I would say that after game 3, you really started to see the fatigue. You started to see the trainers, the cramping up. I just mean that there has been, I think, a drop off from his play from the first two games. And in game 5, I thought it was so imperative for the Cavs to win that one. I know it's so tough going to Oracle and winning, but having that 2 days rest, I thought that was going to see, you were going to see the best punch from LeBron James. You did, but then again, late in the game, the Warriors' depth just comes off in spades.
Well, that's the thing. I think watching LeBron do his thing and watch him carry the Cavs like this and put on this Herculean performance, the amazing part to me is that it's still not enough to beat this Warriors team. Like, that's how good this Golden State team is.
Yeah,
I wonder how many other teams would be able to withstand this.
I think if the Cavs had Kevin Love and Kyrie, they win this series.
Yeah, you know, you're probably right, just because of how close this
has LeBron been. Maybe he can't do enough to beat the Warriors, but has he done enough to win MVP in your eyes? Regardless, like they lose and he wins MVP.
I think, you know, it depends. If Curry has another 40-point game, 37-point game.
So he hasn't locked it up in your eyes.
I don't think he's quite locked it up, to be honest with you. I mean, I would, if the series was over right now, I'd give it to him.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I have no problem giving it to a guy on a losing team. I don't care about that.
Yeah, no, the Jerry West. You get the Jerry West.
The Jerry West one's interesting, though, because, you know, in that scenario, I think he's the only other guy in the NBA who's ever won finals MVP without winning the whole thing. But in his case, they voted for that before the deciding game. So they didn't know that he wasn't going to win the series when they named him MVP.
Hmm.
So it's a little
didn't know that.
Different way.
That's
a
good little Jerry West tidbit. Have you ever read Jerry West's book?
I've read his book.
Oh, so good.
One of my favorite interviews I've ever done is with Jerry West. I'd reached out to the team to Golden State years ago to talk to Mr. West, thinking it was a bit of a long shot. And they said, you know, they forwarded my request and whatever. 2.5-3 weeks later, I'm sitting at my desk in my office and the phone rings and it's, hey, is this Dave? This is Jerry West. And he was just on the side of he's like a truck stop getting his like a flat tire changed. And we ended up talking for
that's how Dave Zarum gets his guys. Yeah. They have to have a flat tire and be stranded somewhere.
They need a remarkable stroke of bad luck. But then we talked for like 35, 40 minutes about like Elgin Baylor, about he was referencing Confucius and talking about like his philosophy on life. And
yeah, he's a deep thinking guy.
You blew me away. That's my favorite interview, I think.
Big Jerry West fan. And you can't overstate the impact he's had in the game. But I think you're right, though. Steph Curry, I think that if I had to rank like my power rankings of who's got the MVP, I think if LeBron James, even if they lose tonight, if he notches another triple-double, it's another 40-point night. It's pretty hard to deny.
Even close to it, yeah.
If Steph and the Warriors blow them away tonight, I think Steph can take it. And then I think there's an outside shot that Iggy takes it. He's been their most consistent player throughout the series. Loved every minute of him.
Been a revelation.
I talked to you. It's unfortunate we didn't get it on the podcast last week, but I'd mentioned to you that my absolute favorite thing about the series was watching Iggy and LeBron James go toe-to-toe. I mean, Iguodala has been maybe not the MVP of the finals, but you could definitely make the case that he's been the Warriors' MVP. The way that he's at least made LeBron James work, hitting open threes, getting to the foul line, bringing energy off the bench. He's basically done everything that team could possibly hope for.
And he's been there offensively as well in a way that we don't usually see from him.
The last thing I wanted to get to about the finals before we talk about this trade quickly, it's not over, so we will be able to delve into this stuff more next week, is the death of the big man.
I hope you're referencing the fact that we didn't see Timofey Mozgov at all. Or practically not at all.
But it's
on
not
Sunday.
Just him. It's we're not seeing Bogut. We are not seeing Azeli. Yeah. Like, we're seeing these teams break away from lineups that they employed all year, and they're going small. Like, we've seen LeBron James play the five for the Cavs in this series.
Well, I wonder though if it's about these specific teams. Like Golden State has such an effective small ball lineup. If this was the Spurs in there, we wouldn't be having this conversation.
Sure, they have an effective small ball lineup, but Andrew Bogut was a defensive player of the year candidate. Mm-hmm. Timofey Mozgov is a guy that had his best career game and then sits out the entire next night. I totally understand that the Warriors have a lineup that causes mismatches, causes a ton of problems. You have to adapt to that. But I do think that there's a larger trend here, and I think that we are going to see less and less bigs. And it brings up an interesting question, which is, and this has already been thrown out there a lot before, but how do we evaluate big men in the draft going forward? Because I think if Jonas Valanciunas hit the draft tomorrow, I don't know where he would slide in, because I think that there's two things that you desperately need from your big men now. And one is that they need to be able to defend the pick and roll. And the other is that they need to be able to shoot the rock. So if you're a traditional big man at this point with a post game, I think the NBA is kind of passing you by.
Well, I think there's always exceptions.
Sure, there's going to be your Zach Randolphs. There's going to be a couple guys. But think about
DeMarcus
it.
DeMarcus Cousins, maybe.
The amount of guys that are having impacts on championship-winning teams over the last couple of years in terms of bigs is pretty much just Tim Duncan.
And listen, next week we'll have a full draft show, and I want to get into this because when you look at the top two guys on most draft boards, Karl Towns and Jahlil Okafor, those are kind of old-school, new-school big men.
Right. Towns,
but I don't think. But you know, they're both going to be high picks. So I think teams are still willing to roll the dice on those traditional big men. But you're right; a guy needs to have the kind of range, and they need to be able to cover space in a way that a big man never had to before.
But you have to wonder, you really do, that maybe next year again, it'll take a couple of years. But I'm starting to think like whether or not how much size is going to be evaluated as a major positive for guys in terms of just size alone and low post game. You're going to have to shoot the rock. You're going to have to be able to run the floor. You're going to have to be able to protect the rim and the pick and roll.
Yeah, we've seen the NBA going this way for a little while, and this final certainly just kind of affirms that. So real quick, tonight, game six, what do you expect to see?
I would say I expect to see a Warriors closeout. I know it's tough to win on the road, especially a finals, but I just think that they figured things out with the pacing of the series. If you looked at the first three games, the Cavs really mucked things up, slowed it down in the half court, really bludgeoned them, beat them up inside, got to the rim. LeBron James had more gas in the tank, and then something flipped in that game four in that first quarter. It was actually right after the Cavs went on that 7-0 run to start the game. The Warriors just figured it out. They were like, you know what? We got to push the goddamn ball. Mm-hmm. We got to start shooting threes. We can't hesitate like Steph was earlier in the series. Mm-hmm. He figured out that, hey, you know, every time they're going to switch on this high pick and roll, we can kill them.
Well, yeah, you know, the Warriors on a whole, Curry at the forefront of it, they seemed like a little too chill for the first few games of the series. And you saw that flip switched. They got that sense of urgency that we were seeing out of the Cavs, and that seems to be enough to make the difference.
Draymond Green started playing much better. Yeah. He was a total zero through the first couple of games. They made the lineup changes to go
small
and push.
Yeah, give Kerr credit with that.
And hey, that tempo, like, that really hurt the Cavs, right? Like, you're talking about a team that's playing seven guys, and so seven guys are running up the floor trying to chase around the Warriors. That's a tough mix, and I don't know. And I think that Dellavedova got exposed pretty big. I think he has more turnovers in the series than he does have made buckets.
Yeah, it was a good story for a couple of days there, wasn't it?
So it's the narrative kind of shifted on.
This has been the highest rated finals since the Michael Jordan era.
Yeah, it's
and
insane.
I just think the
like 19 million viewers.
It's crazy. I think the people deserve a game seven, and I really hope to God that's what we get. It's unlikely, but hopefully that's the case. Or if not a game seven, just let this game be tied with a minute left. Is that too much to ask?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. Fine.
Let's talk about the trade.
Yeah, so Monday night, big trade went down. Kind of out of nowhere. You don't normally see trades like this in the middle of the finals, but the Charlotte Hornets have traded Lance Stephenson to the Los Angeles Clippers in exchange for Matt Barnes and Spencer Hawes. You got to like this if you're the Clippers, right?
Yes.
And you got to like this if you're the Hornets, right?
Yes. It's okay. A win-win.
It is
it's a
win-win.
Rare win-win. Although this is the one thing I'll say, you can't like it if you're the Hornets, and you can't like it if you're the Clippers, is that one, the Hornets signed Lance to that contract and they thought that he was going to kind of be the thing that pushed them from a 7-8 seed to a contender in the East.
That was a disaster, that signing. Did you think it would be I thought it was a good signing at the time. I thought he filled the need for them.
I thought it was a good
perimeter
signing.
Perimeter scoring, guy, perimeter D.
If you looked at that Hornets team, and again, Big Al just couldn't stay healthy this year. They had a lot of injuries this year to that Hornets team. So it's really tough to really grill them. But Lance went off the rails. He was just taking terrible shots. I think he got a little bit out of shape.
For like half the season, he was shooting like 15% from
three. That's what I mean. He was god-awful. And I think that you can make the same case for the Clippers on the flip side when it comes to Spencer Hawes, because they thought that he was the big man that they needed. He was going to be a guy that provided some spacing. You could put him up there with Blake and with DeAndre. He was the extra big they needed. It was something they got killed over for a couple of years, and it was a total bust. He couldn't even get on the floor until like the very end of the playoffs when they were desperate and they were just throwing bodies out
there. Yeah, so this is a good kind of trade. It's two teams trading their mistakes. You know, and both, I don't know if Charlotte needs the spare big man in the way that the Clippers did, and I don't know if Spencer Hawes will be that for them. But hey, Matt Barnes, I really like Matt Barnes. That's going to be a nice pickup.
Well, he's going to get bought out.
Oh.
He's not going to play a game in a Charlotte uniform.
If I'm a Charlotte fan, I want that guy in my uniform, though. For a team trying to kind of turn that edge, here's a guy who knows what it takes to win. He's a guy with the right attitude to kind of help turn a culture around. I don't know. I really like Matt Barnes.
Sure. I think he's kind of an asshole.
That's what I like about him.
I think he's the same kind of guy as Lance, where it's like if he's in the right situation, he can help your team being an agitator if you got a winning team with a good
room. The difference
is
you would never expect as much from Barnes as you would from Lance Stephenson, so you'll never be disappointed in the same way.
No, but this is why I like the trade from the Clipper standpoint. Is one, it's if you're going to take risk, I'm okay with that. But the thing is Lance only has 2 years left on his contract. Mm-hmm. So worst case scenario.
And if he plays close to what we saw from him in a Pacers uniform, that's a good contract.
But I think that we will see closer to the Pacers guy than the Hornets guy. And the reasons I think so are, one is that he's going to play for Doc Rivers. So he's going to go play for a guy. I think that a big part of who Lance was in Indiana was that he had strong leadership, Frank Vogel, Larry mm-hmm. Bird, and those guys had a good relationship with him. They knew how to get the best out of him. I think Doc is going to do that. He's going to slide in well. He's going to really fit in as a wing player. He's going to be able to get a lot of minutes, have a lot of responsibility, especially on the defensive end. It's something the Clippers have really lacked over the last couple of years, is an effective wing player. He's going to slide in immediately and be their best guy. And I think that there's a risk that he and Chris Paul clash, right? Just like with everybody in Chris Paul.
Yeah, you hope he defers because Paul's earned it.
That's the thing, is that I feel like Paul and Griffin, you have two guys ahead of you that are so much better offensively. It's not like where he went to Charlotte and he's thinking, I'm a better scorer than Kemba Walker. Like, Al's not healthy.
The hierarchy is a lot clearer.
That's what
in
I mean.
Los Angeles.
So it's just like maybe he finds his role in the pecking order again, just like he did in Indiana behind Paul George. He's done it before. I don't see any reason why he can't again. And again, two-year contract, kind of minimal risk. You need a guy like that out on that Clippers team. I love it. I love it from their end.
Yeah, nothing not to like about it from the Clippers' perspective. An upgrade in talent. Listen, speaking of talent, we got a lot coming up in the Free Association Freebie Awards, our postseason awards, as voted by you, the listener, and Sportsnet.ca reader. So listen, JD, I got to get my tux on. I don't know about you, but I got to run.
I got a t-shirt with a tuxedo printed on it.
Classy, that's cool. It's good enough for me. All right, so we'll catch you on the other side with the freebies.
This is Tracy Murray from your Toronto Raptors, and you listen to Free Association.
Send me in my heels and ting. Them checks say we hip and ting. Chew them no no and ting.
Live from the fifth floor in an office building in Toronto, it's the inaugural Free Association NBA Playoff Award Show. the Freebies. Now, please welcome your hosts, Dave Zarum and J.D. Buttons.
Hello, 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 everybody. We're so glad you can make it here to the first ever Freebies. We do appreciate you joining us. Yes, yes, it's a star-studded crowd this evening. You know, I look out and I see so many familiar faces. You know, Grievous Vasquez is here. Hey, you got to give him credit for showing his face. After all, guarding John Wall, Grievous's defense was more exposed than LeBron before Game 4 of the Finals.
Oh. Hey, speaking of LeBron, he's here too. Sitting in the front row, kind of hard to miss him. Hey, of course you recognize him. He was also the guy selling concessions out in the lobby, the guy who ushered you to your seat, the valet out front. He'll probably come in and do a little bit of hosting today, too. Thank you.
Yeah, and there's an empty seat over there, you'll notice. It was for Bruno Caboclo, but he's still a year away from being 2 years away.
Oh, Anthony Davis couldn't be here, but his eyebrow made it. Going Stag. Hey, did you hear the one that Matthew Dellavedova had a stadium named after him in his native Australia? Yeah, it's a big honor. But hey, we shouldn't be too surprised that it only held up for a few days before it folded.
You know, Tim Duncan couldn't be here tonight. That's because he's in a hotel room staring at an empty wall waiting for the preseason to start. Really? A robot, that guy, I tell ya. But hey, Riley Curry's here.
Yeah, she sure is. And she's a nominee tonight, up for the Social Media Darling Award. Everybody loves Riley Curry. Oh, what's that, Riley? Oh, he's so cute. So cute, Riley.
Okay,
wait, yes. Hold on 1 second.
But now it's continue. We've got to continue on with the show. Okay, Riley. All right, that's enough. Okay, Steph, you want to get up here and just get her off the stage? Thanks, bud.
Okay.
Maybe Riley's not as popular as we thought.
Okay. On with the show then. Let's get right to it now with our first award of the evening.
Most valuable player.
Now this one's kind of a no-brainer, I would think, but the nominees were Steph Curry, LeBron James, and James Harden. Let's get this over with. And the freebie goes to LeBron James. I guess no surprise there, right, JD?
Absolutely. No surprise here. LeBron James, absolute stud.
Yeah, but you know what? It's interesting. When you look at the voting, and first of all, thanks everyone for voting. We had a ton of votes. Great turnout. Really appreciate that. But you look at the voting, it was 50% for LeBron James, 47% for Steph Curry.
Hey, Steph had his moments, but you guys are absolutely insane who voted for Steph Curry.
What about the 20 people who voted for James Harden?
Well, those people are clearly all just James Harden.
Okay, so LeBron MVP, no gripes with that one.
Yeah, let's move on.
Least valuable player.
All right, the nominees for least valuable player: Damian Lillard, Kyle Lowry, Giannis Antetokounmpo, and Rajon Rondo. And the winner is... it's Rajon Rondo in a shocking upset. Rajon!
Is that shocking to you? Who did you expect that to go to?
I mean, Kyle Lowry sitting right over there has to be disappointed in this result.
He did
everything he could possibly do to be the most disappointing player of the playoffs, especially in this market. I mean,
that's the thing is given the market, and I am surprised because Rondo got the majority of the vote with almost 57%. So pretty overwhelming favorite. Favorite's not the right word.
Hey, I guess if you quit on your team in the middle of a playoff series, that gets it done. Congratulations to you, Rajon Rondo. You're the least valuable player of this year's postseason awards.
Okay, we got a special one coming up next. Let's go right to it.
Breakout performer.
Playing one-on-one versus the Clippers. Paul! This is unbelievable. Hammers drawn by DeAndre Jordan. They're playing a video game out here now. Look at this. This is a one-handed alley-oop to DeAndre Jordan. I mean, look how high the ball is. More importantly, look how high DeAndre Jordan is. Wow.
Shot clock winding down. Beal fires. Oh, and rips in! Everything is going down for the Wizards.
The presence of mind of Beal to know the clock is going down and getting a friendly roll. And he's smiling. He's feeling good.
Smith, the alley-oop for Thompson.
have to love when the big man goes to the hole strong. This is all effort, all heart. Right here, the mismatch. Millsap on J.R. Smith. He doesn't settle for the three. Throws it up. Tristan Thompson might be the heart and soul doing all the dirty work for the Cavs.
Dellavedova. And one! Count it. And a foul. Matthew Dellavedova knocked down. Banks it in. Stumbling. Bumbling. Contact. Bank is open. This guy, I would have never thought in this type of game he could be this good.
We are seeing the emergence of one of the more improbable playoff heroes in recent postseason history.
All right, so that was breakout player. The nominees were DeAndre Jordan, Matthew Dellavedova, Bradley Beal, and Tristan Thompson. And the freebie goes to, big upset here, I think, Tristan Thompson.
Another major upset. But hey, we're proud of the Canadian. Let's not rain on his parade. That being said, how excellent was Bradley Beal? I think that he took a real step towards establishing himself as a star player in this league during the playoffs. Absolutely murdered the Toronto Raptors. Stepped up when John Wall got hurt. Can't say enough about Bradley Beal. Just less games than Tristan.
I don't know what you're talking about, though. How does Matthew Dellavedova not win this one? Is that not the definition of a breakout player?
In terms of
like
having
a guy who comes out of nowhere and now is a household name. That's a breakout performance.
I don't think that he's going to be a household name.
No, right now he is, though.
Anymore.
For these playoffs. So you think it's already turned sour for him, eh?
I just think that Brad Beal went from being a guy that was a good player, a shooter, someone that people knew was good but not great, and he showed out that he and John Wall, after Steph and Clay, best backcourt in the NBA.
But hey, the people voted for Thompson, and they did so another overwhelming favorite, 55% for Tristan Thompson, the Canadian kid.
Hey, it probably has nothing to do with the fact that this award show is hosted in Canada. But hey, kudos to Tristan Thompson. He was excellent in the playoffs, earned a lot of money, great rebounder, showed a lot of fortitude. Probably Cavs' second best player in the playoffs.
No question.
All right, let's move on to my favorite award of the year.
Best soundbite.
I saw you looking at Bradley Beal like I thought it might be for him. Were you telling him to give you some space or what?
Yeah, I was just telling him to get out. I had a small guy on me. I had it at the elbow. What more can you ask for? You got truth at the elbow with the game on the line.
How do you slow him down?
How do you same way you slow me down? You can't.
We made the decision this morning. And so when I was asked today, I think Tim Kawakami asked me if Bogut was starting. I lied. I don't think they hand you the trophy based on morality. They give it to you if you win. So sorry about that.
Basketball is often called a young man's game. And in basketball terms, you're not exactly young anymore. But you seem to be playing still efficiently at this age. I mean, do you still feel like there's a lot left in what you can do as a basketball player?
I think a lot is a stretch, but... I still feel right now I can be effective in my role, and that's all I'm doing is just playing a role in this team.
And in play the Rose at the top of the circle. Rose for the winner. Up! Yes! Yes! Win! Yes! Win on the Baker at the bucket! Derrick Rose has won the ball game! The Bulls have won the ball game!
They will have to review it!
Rose won the 99-96 game winner! Are you kidding me?
Did you call bank?
I called game. Game. Hey.
So many great moments from the NBA Finals.
That was awesome.
Oh, that was great to hear all that stuff again. All right, let's give away the award for...
Who? Can you just do me a favor? Can you just run through who the nominees were?
Sure. They were Paul Pierce calls game, the ones you just heard. Chuck Swirsky calls Derrick Rose's buzzer beater. Tim Duncan, it's a young man's game. Paul Pierce, it's time to play truth or dare with the game on the line. Steve Kerr, I lied. And LeBron James on stopping Steph Curry. And the winner goes to, in a super tight race, Paul Pierce calls game! Paul Pierce calls game!
I call game!
Get up here, Paul Pierce! Get your award! Champion!
Much deserved. That one was a lock if there ever was one, right?
Paul Pierce gave us the best sound overall of the entire playoff, so he deserved to win that award on that merit alone.
What was the voting like for that one?
That was extremely tight. People liked the LeBron on stopping Steph. It was only 0.3% that separated that and Paul Pierce. Surprisingly low. Steve Kerr, I lied. And Paul Pierce, time to call Truth to Dare online. No votes. Not a single one.
That's hard to believe. All right, I would like to move on to the next award.
Best defensive player.
The steal by Butler. It is a 10-0 run by Chicago. The Cavaliers call for time. Jimmy Butler. He has 13 points along with 6 assists and some pretty good defense against LeBron.
James dribbled it off his foot. Iguodala, good defense, gets it back. Drives inside. Andre Iguodala. Great hands to force the turnover. And then scores to tie the game down the other end.
Nice pass, but Carroll is rejected by James. Andre with a scoop ahead. There's LeBron one on three. Spins his way and scores.
Strong, good, rebound by Jordan, rejected by Howard, as one big man goes up against the other.
And well, of course, we did see DeAndre Jordan throw Dwight Howard's shot into the stands.
And here is Tony Parker with a screen by Kawhi Leonard, another screen by Splitter, and they find Duncan inside, rejected by Jordan. DeAndre Jordan Reds, number 4, block shots in the league.
From what he is in the discussion for the Defensive Player of the Year.
Okay, so the nominees for Defensive Player of the Playoffs: Jimmy Butler, Andre Iguodala, LeBron James, Dwight Howard, and DeAndre Jordan. And the freebie goes to Andre Iguodala. 47% for Iggy.
Way to go, Iggy. Way to go. I mean, I would make the case that it was LeBron. I think that he's the best defensive player in the playoffs and consistently all the way
through. I would have voted LeBron as well.
The thing is, though, why I got to give it up for Iggy is that nobody has done as good of a job on LeBron James as he has, and that includes Jimmy Butler. So kind of hard story, Jimmy. Great guy. You had a great season. I know you're staring right at me looking horribly disappointed by all of this, but he did a much better job than Butler did. You got to give it props for the only guy that's done anything to slow down LeBron James. Slow him down to the point of triple-doubles and 40-point nights, by the way.
Iguodala, 47% of the vote. DeAndre Jordan, though, you know, he only played the first two rounds of the playoffs. He got 15% of the vote.
People love their big man that swat block shots. That's what they do. Hey, DeAndre, you can use that percentage point when you renegotiate your contract in this offseason. That's a freebie from us. All right, moving along.
Best game.
Oh, so many good ones to choose from. But the nominees are Cavaliers-Warriors, Game 2.
Whoa.
Clippers-Spurs, Game 7.
Got to be the favorite.
Grizzlies-Warriors, Game 2, the Mike Conley game. Cavaliers-Bulls, Game 2. And the freebie goes to it's Clippers-Spurs, Game 7. A true NBA classic in its own right. Chris Paul finishing with the floater in the very end. What a terrific game. What a terrific series. It could have won best series as well.
That's interesting, though. I mean, a first-round game was dubbed the best game of these playoffs.
Yeah, some were disappointed, myself included, that those two juggernauts met up in the first round. But, hey, as long as we ended up getting a series like that, I think it's going to be one of the most memorable points of the playoffs.
And I just want to point out the voting for this. It was 45% was what the Cavs-Warriors game 2, and then Clippers-Spurs game 7, 47%. So this was a really close one. Like a really close one.
It was ridiculously close. That being said, everybody that voted for the Cavs-Warriors game 2 over Clippers-Spurs game 7, let's not hear from you again.
All right, moving on.
Worst series.
So this one, listen, okay, here are the nominees. Blazers-Rockets, that was terrible. Cavs-Hawks, had some moments, but yeah, a bit of a snorer. Raptors-Wizards.
Yikes. Those are some stinker series.
Now, we saw how the market affected the Tristan Thompson win earlier. I wonder what it's going to look like for this one. Let's hear the drum roll. And the freebie goes to Raptors Wizards.
Hey, Raptors, at least you won something this year.
Yeah, I don't know who's applauding that, but that one was 88% of the vote.
Way to go, Raptors. You had the worst series of the entire playoffs. Congratulations.
And it wasn't even close.
Oh, way to go, you guys. I got to say, though, got to give a little nod to the Cavs-Hawks series.
Yeah, you really didn't like that one, eh?
Well, especially considering the fact that I had high expectations. It was supposed to be this clash of styles. We talked about it. One team that loves to run ISOs. One team that loves to move the ball and pass it around. This is the time for the Hawks to prove that they're a legitimate contender in the East, and it's not all about individualism. Wah, wah, wah.
So much
total letdown of a series. That's actually what I voted for. Oh, wait, are we not supposed to vote for these awards?
No, that's fine.
Okay, that's good. Oh, now it's time to touch base with my friend Riley once again as we announce the social media darling.
Social media darling.
Andre Iguodala sucks gazelle.
Oh, yeah, listen to Vance Joy. Got that album on there, so just to relax a little bit.
Stephen Curry's facial hair is a little puby. While we're on the subject, your teeth need some work. Come on, man.
That's a special feeling. We got to take
Dada,
a week.
Help me.
Take a week off. It was special, I think, because everybody was kind of enjoying the moment. You wanted to say that.
It's entertaining basketball, but it's we're both supposed to you know.
That's too loud, Daddy.
I know. Hold on one second, okay?
Be quiet.
I mean, you take your daughter second times. How do you feel that?
I think she's taking advantage of the moment for sure. She's way too comfortable.
What a darling she is. Riley Curry, everybody. And the nominees are Andre Iguodala, Steph Curry, Riley Curry, and somehow Matthew Dellavedova. And the winner is Riley Curry, everybody. The Currys dominated the voting in this poll.
Yeah, no surprise that Riley won, but the Currys combined got almost 90% of this vote.
So the moral of the story is I think we can expect a Curry reality show coming to a theater near you.
No question. And here's a bold prediction. This was Riley Curry's first freebie. It won't be the last.
Very, very true.
Whoa, I feel blessed.
All right, that's enough, Riley. Okay, moving on.
The Jerome James most likely to get paid.
Okay, so we are talking about most likely to get paid. Jerome James, I mean, if there's ever a model for a guy who can parlay a paycheck into a performance.
I got to love that we gave a shout out to a supersonic. I remember those playoffs that he played well. And I remember being like, oh my God, the Knicks gave Jerome James what?
So the nominees for most likely to get paid, the Jerome James Memorial Award. DeAndre Jordan.
Memorial.
Damari Carroll. Yeah, he's probably still alive. Sorry, man. Tristan Thompson, Jimmy Butler, and Brooke Lopez. And the freebie goes to our first two-time winner of the evening, it's Tristan Thompson.
Way to go, Tristan. Doing Canada real proud. The only thing I feel like about the James Johnson or the Jerome James Award is that the true spirit of the award, I feel, should be going to a player that doesn't deserve to get paid that much money. And in my eyes, that doesn't fit Tristan. I think he deserves the paycheck.
It's a great point. The people think so as well, obviously, and they voted him overwhelming favorite, 51% of the vote. Second best was 25%, and that was DeAndre Jordan.
See, again, he merits the raise.
You bring up a good point.
People don't know who Jerome James is, and probably that's for the best.
Well, hopefully basketball fans listen to this show, and they know who he is.
Speaking of Jerome James, it's time for our next award.
Most disappointing.
Hey! It's the nominees are Steph Curry versus James Harden, John Wall's injury, Kyrie Irving's finals injury, and the Toronto Raptors' performance. Who could this one go to? It's the Toronto Raptors are getting a landslide. Oh, the Raptors are collecting some awards. Now also a two-time winner. Canada dominating these awards tonight.
Canada owning the Canadian playoff awards.
So, Toronto Raptors, you had the worst series and you were the most disappointing.
What was the number for
their
votes?
Hold your heads high. 83%.
Oh.
Kyrie Irving's final injury actually got 101 votes to the 652, but that the Raptors garnered.
As it should have, by the way, because, you know, we talked about in the first block how much that would have affected this finals.
The Raptors were super disappointing to me on a personal level, but can I say the underdog on this one was the John Wall injury. I don't think that there was anybody playing at least better than John Wall through the first round and a half of the playoffs. Watching him get injured and the way that it altered the Eastern Conference was wildly disappointing for me. I thought he was really breaking out. I was so, so disappointed when John Wall was hurt and they revealed the extent of the injury. It would have been awesome to see what he could have kept doing, especially the way he was distributing the rock.
Was a shame. Let's move on.
Least likable.
Okay, so the nominees for least likable. Matthew Dellavedova.
So, who was nominated for social media darling, might I add.
Yeah, listen, he's a polarizing figure.
Oh.
Dwight Howard. Not so polarizing.
Yeah.
People have a pretty strong opinion on Dwight.
Too.
And the third nominee is Draymond Green.
Ooh, also, that's a good one.
And the freebie goes to... It's Dwight Howard.
Oh, what a shocker.
61% of the vote.
Nobody likes you, Dwight Howard. Why did you even show up here tonight? He's got two seats on each side of him open because
no one
wants to sit next to him. Good God, Dwight, just get out of here. Go home. Ugh.
Yeah.
I'm tired of this. You know what? Best individual performance is next. I would have given it to myself, but hey, we can't all get what we want.
Brooklyn made the move, got it to go, and a foul. He saw room, and he goes slicing into it. And the Clippers have ripped the heart out of the Spurs.
The baddest dude puts it up and puts it in. 37 now for LeBron James. Finds Mozgov. Timofey Mozgov with the slam.
And Steph Curry will dribble it out. Game one goes to the Warriors.
2-0 series lead for the Wiz. 25 points, 15 assists in a playoff game in the last 10 years. There you see the group. And John Wall adding his name tonight with his 26 and 17.
Wow. LeBron James is playing on Will right now. And LeBron James, we talked about the field goal attempts as the celebration by Teague, but not to be outdone. The King, playing on emotion, knocks down the three to give the Cavs a one-point lead.
James settled for a three and nails it. LeBron James from downtown. Timeout Golden State as the Cavaliers take an 11-point lead. 34 points and a triple-double for LeBron James.
Steph Curry, extreme confidence. Here's the chatter. Deli's the Curry stopper. Not on my watch. Nothing like eating at the deli and the family loving.
Harden lays it in. And Steve Kerr needs a timeout. A 7-0 run led by James Harden, who has 37 points. And the Rockets up by 13.
One thing these playoffs have not lacked, great individual performances. And the nominees are Blake Griffin, Game 7 versus the Spurs, 23 points, 13 rebounds, 10 assists. LeBron James, Game 1 versus the Warriors, 44 points, 8 rebounds, 6 assists. John Wall, Game 2 versus the Raptors, 26 points, 17 assists. LeBron James again, Game 3 versus the Hawks, 37, 18, and 13. LeBron James a third time, 39, 16, 11. These are ridiculous to read these lines in.
It's nuts.
Game 2 versus the Warriors. Those were two straight games of the Warriors. Oh, my God. Steph Curry, Game 5 versus the Cavs, 37, 7-13 from 3. And James Harden, Game 4 versus the Warriors, 45 points, 9 rebounds, 5 assists. So I guess we're not counting when James Harden set the turnover record the very next night. Okay. And the winner goes to... LeBron James. Game 2 versus the Warriors. Congratulations, LeBron.
Much deserved. You know, that was the game where I think everyone realized just how bat-ass crazy LeBron's performance is in these playoffs.
If you're nominated three times, you deserve to win.
Unreal. I mean, and that game too, that one, did that win best game? It was first or second for best game, so a lot to like in that.
So, yes, game two, another NBA classic, probably something that you'll be seeing on NBA TV during the summer. I know I will enjoy rewatching it.
Okay, now on to our final award of the evening, and this is a big one.
Oh, sad coming to an end.
The play of the playoffs, the best single play of the playoffs. Now, the nominees for this are Chris Paul's series-winning fadeaway off the glass, Game 7 versus the Spurs.
Good one.
Derrick Rose at the buzzer. That's Game 3 versus the Cavs. Paul Pierce calls game and then backs it up.
Good one.
Game 3 versus the Hawks. Steph Curry's Miracle 3, Game 3 versus the Pelicans.
Great one.
Steph Curry's Miracle 3, Game 3 versus the Cavaliers. But really, you can take your pick on any Steph Curry.
Steph Curry is also good.
Steph Curry, Miracle 3. And the final nominee is LeBron James at the buzzer, Game 4 versus the Bulls. And the freebie goes to... Congratulations, Chris Paul.
Well deserved. Unbelievable,
you know,
shot.
I think this, it might be this or the MVP vote. This was the closest one of the entire evening, with Chris Paul's shot narrowly edging out by 1%, edging out what was second here. Steph Curry's Miracle 3 against the Cavaliers, Game 3.
Hey,
but take your pick.
Hey, that was a great shot. You got to give it up to the Chris Paul one, especially considering, okay, the circumstances. You dethroned the defending champions. You shot it barely over top of Tim Duncan. It just a sliver over top. Did it on one leg. Did it after a ton of minutes where he was already injured. Just a spectacular shot. Something that, again, we'll see in highlight reels for years and years and years to come.
Degree of difficulty, sense of the moment, that had it all. And you guys named it your play of the playoffs.
Yes, that had my vote. Oh,
listen. That's it for tonight. Thank you so much, everybody. It's been great. The Freebie
Awards.
I've been
terrific. I really have. I've got to give
a hand for JD. Give a hand for JD.
Wow.
He was really nervous before the show, and you came through, man. You came through.
Yeah, so did the sweat from my shirt.
I've got to change buckets out of this tux back into my sweatpants.
I'm still in the t-shirt, so it didn't really matter. Don't have to change.
Well, what we're going to do is we're going to take a quick break. We're going to come back with our final block of the show today, play some catch and shoot. Queue up next week. You know, the NBA draft is like a week away.
Oh, I can't wait.
We'll get to all of that coming up.
Porzingis!
It's coming up next.
Hello, everyone. This is Drew Joyce from St. Vincent St. Mary High School in Akron, Ohio, better known as the High School of LeBron James. I just want to thank you and encourage you to continue to listen to Free Association.
I was walking down the street, concentrating on truck and ride. I heard a dark voice beside of me, and I looked round in a state of fright. I saw four faces, one man, a brother from the gutter. They looked me up and down a bit and turned to each other.
This is Free Association. I'm Dave Zarum. He's
Welcome
JD
back.
Bunkus. That was fun.
That was extremely fun. So, what do you think? Your favorite moment of the playoffs so far? Everything, all included, all that stuff, all that noise, all summed up.
I've loved LeBron in the finals. I know it's so obvious, but my whole thing with sports in general, all the time, my underlying, and I don't think I'm alone here, is I want to watch history. Do you know what I mean?
Of course.
I want to be able to say I was
history,
there when.
Yes.
That's a good point. But I want to watch historic great moments. So I love the fact that I was able to sit there and say, I saw LeBron James do things that nobody's ever done before.
Yep.
And I'm going to remember that.
Hey, I'm totally with you. For me, it was Riley Curry. She was hilarious. No, I'm kidding. I've had a ton of fun these playoffs. I think for me, it's again, being this finals. I love seeing LeBron James.
Hype,
I love seeing this Warriors team come through in the clutch. I love seeing the adjustment battles that both coaches have made. It's been an excellent series. I've loved every single minute of it. And, of course, I loved watching the Toronto Raptors. Oh, wait, no, that's the complete opposite. I hated watching the Toronto Raptors get destroyed like that.
That was a shame. Listen, thanks again for everyone for voting for the freebies.
Yeah, that was great. A lot of votes.
We will do it again.
Do more polls.
Big turnout. But for now, it's time to play catch and shoot.
Don't hesitate. Just catch and shoot.
All right, what do we got first?
LaMarcus Aldridge sold his house in Portland. Is he a goner?
Bingo! He's a goner. See ya later, LaMarcus, says Portland. I mean, they disappointed again in the playoffs. I think that it's not without outside the realm of possibility that Wes Matthews leaves too. I just think that, hey, LaMarcus Aldridge is going to have an offer from the Spurs. I don't see how he turns down a chance to join that franchise and become a champion.
Them or the Mavericks,
could,
but I agree, he's gone. What's up next?
Could be a leverage.
So, Alvin Gentry dunked, ish. What's the most athletic thing you can do?
Well, this is a fairly new development, and I'm extremely proud of this. I can touch the rim of a basketball net. I can close my fist around the rim of a regulation height basketball net.
Well, to give people some context, Dave Zarin, how tall are you? You're not a freakishly tall. No, like if you were my roommate who's 6'9", you'd be like, well, duh.
No. I'm 5'11".
Yeah. Okay. So I'm 5'10". I can touch my toes with my knees bent. That's pretty good.
Pretty impressive as well.
Pretty good. Take care of that. Run up the stairs in my apartment building all 2 flights every day. Yeah, a lot of achievements on my end. I won Athlete of the Year when I was in grade 7.
And so, we're moving on. What's up next?
Joel Embiid suffered a setback in his recovery from a foot injury that may keep him out for the next season. Will this finally sway GMs away from drafting bigs with injury history?
I mean, what else does there need to be to sway GMs from picking these guys? I get it if Joel Embiid had fallen to, say, 6 or 7, then it's like, okay, we got to take a shot on this guy. He was spectacular playing at Kansas. But please stop drafting bigs with injury history, or for that matter, anybody with a serious injury history, in the top of the first round. You need to convert on those picks. And just watching this again is just so freaking frustrating.
Well, I mean, you were saying here that in the first block that you wouldn't even be drafting bigs anyways.
Exactly. Well, first of all, I would be drafting bigs, but they would have
You'd
to be
thinking twice.
Exactly. But my God, like, this guy had a foot injury that has been known to derail guys' careers. And you're going to take a chance at screwing your franchise over by doing this. And I just think that if I'm a Sixers fan, I look at this and I'm just like, I'm pissed. Like, I am really, really pissed that we blew this.
Around the Sixers right now are saying that this has severely, severely changed and their plans for the worse.
Exactly. And so now what happens is, like, are you, if one of Jahlil Okafor or Towns ends up falling to that 3 spot because Russell ends up going in the top group, or Porzingis ends up going on top, like, do you have to roll the dice on another big? Like, you take, yeah, how many years they've taken now? Dario Saric, Joel Embiid, Nerlens Noel. Like, you've got to start building other pieces, and this is just a major setback. But can I just say quickly, I'm heartbroken for Embiid. Great personality. Love him on Twitter. I've loved pretty much every single thing he's ever done when it comes to the media. I think he's hilarious. He was excellent in Kansas. Really disappointing to see this.
All right, yeah. I mean, it's just crushing to see a guy's career get derailed before it even began.
Ugh, so, 2.0.
But tonight, we're going to see some careers get made. We're going to see some legacies be affirmed. We're going to see greatness on both ends of the floor. It's game 6.
Might see LeBron James' penis again.
It's possible. Game 6 of the NBA Finals. The Warriors could win it tonight. I'm really hoping it goes 7 games. Listen, we'll catch up with you next week to recap everything that happened. Plus, we're going to have a whole draft special, because next week when we drop, next Tuesday, we'll be 2 days away from the draft.
Woohoo!
Raptors picking at number 20.
Kristaps Porzingis!
Will not be available at number 20. All right, thanks everyone. This has been a lot of fun. I'm Dave Zarin. He's JD Bunkus. Remember to subscribe on iTunes, and we'll see you next Tuesday.
This is about all of us. I love you, people.